time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Just a couple of old guys sitting around talking about old stuff. It's another edition of Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
All right, old buddy, what are we talking about this week?
Well, I've been preparing to make a series of videos for the Manitoba Historical Society's YouTube channel, and they're going to be on the theme of Manitoba's oldest buildings. And so I've been grappling with this whole idea of age, and I teased the listeners last week that we were going to go down a bit of a philosophical rabbit hole in a way that would involve ships and carpenters. But before we tackle that matter, I think we should consider a necessary question. If we want to designate a particular building as being historically important, well, when does a building become old?
Is old a difficult thing to know?
Well, I think so, because it implies a comparison.
Okay.
You know, something's old relative to something else. So, you know, for example, here in Manitoba, buildings are relative youngsters compared to ones in other parts of the world. I have a cousin in England, and he owned a country inn that had been built in the 1300s. That just blows my mind every time I think of it. There's nothing in Manitoba that is anywhere close to this age. And, you know, when I walked into his inn, I thought, wow, all the history that these walls have witnessed. I had the same feeling of awe when I walked into the Pantheon in Rome, built nearly 2,000 years ago. And that, of course, that's truly old.
That is. Okay, Mr. World Traveler, let's stay here in the province. What are Manitoba's oldest buildings?
Well, in my view, the oldest wooden building in Manitoba is the Depot Building at York Factory. It overlooks the Hayes River near the Hudson Bay, and it was built between 1831 and 1838, meaning it's almost 200 years old. That's pretty old by Manitoba standards. And it was given by the Hudson's Bay Company to the federal government in 1968. It's maintained today as a National Historic Site. Parks Canada does maintenance and restoration on the building, and I think especially they've been working on its foundation, because of course if that goes, then the rest of the building is in jeopardy.
So that's the oldest wooden building. How about stone? We're known for our limestone here, right?
Indeed, and of course a more durable material than wood. And the oldest one, I think, is the Big House at Lower Fort Garry. It was built between 1830 and 1832 as a residence for the governor of the Hudson's Bay Company, and it too is a National Historic Site.
Is age have anything to do with being considered historically significant?
Well, yes. You know, even a relatively young building that's a rare example of a particular architectural style could be significant, or maybe its designer is noteworthy. So here in Canada, the criterion for age that is used to determine whether a nomination of a building as a National Historic Site is that it must be 40 years or more in age. Do the math. What does that mean? It means a building constructed in 1985 could be considered old.
That's
and historic.
Silly.
Well, and it's no different in the U.S. I think the U.S. criterion is 50 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is not unusual, that young.
I would have guessed much older. But you mentioned ships and carpenters as being involved in this matter. How so?
Okay, well, have you ever heard of a philosophical riddle called the Ship of Theseus?
Of course not.
Well, and I have very rarely encountered anyone else either.
Okay.
But imagine a small sailing boat from thousands of years ago. Let's say it heads out on a voyage, and while it's traveling, a carpenter aboard the boat begins replacing each of its wooden parts, so that by the time the boat reaches its destination, the entire boat has been replaced. Philosophers ask the question, is it the same boat as the one that began the journey? Because it's basically all different parts.
Okay.
Well, I'll leave our listeners to ponder that weighty question, but it does pertain to old buildings. You know, so if restoration work replaces an entire old building, in other words, none of the original structure is left, is it truly an old building? You know, in other words, at what point does conservation work lose the old building?
All right. Give us examples of this so that we kind of Get the idea.
Let's go back to the aforementioned big house at Lower Fort Garry. Mm-hmm. They have verified using archaeology that much of it is original to the 1830s. There were later additions. They've been mostly removed or modified, and they have done repairs through the years, you know, to make sure that the building is safe and, you know, is intact, is structurally has its integrity.
Right.
So I would say, yes, typically the big house is old, even though it's gone through considerable change. But it is not the exact same building that was occupied in 1832 by Governor Simpson. The stone bastions at the corners of the walls at Lower Fort Garry, well, they were used for various things, storage, living space. They date from the late 1840s. And so, yes, they are old, but they've had lots of masonry repairs through the years to ensure their structural integrity. So following the ship of Theseus Riddle, are those stone structures at Lower Fort Garry old? Well, yes, I would say cautiously, but, you know, we really should know the full extent to which they've undergone conservation work. Because, you know, in theory, if the entire thing was taken apart and then rebuilt, it's not as old as it might seem.
So you're talking about stone here, but there's lots at Lower Fort Garry that is wood, and that wears out quicker than stone.
Oh, obviously. It does. And in fact, it's worth pointing out that none of the wooden buildings at Lower Fort Garry originated there. In other words, they weren't original to the fort.
Right.
That's not to say that none of them are authentically old. There are several of them that are old. One example, for instance, is the Fraser House. It's a log building that stands just outside the stone walls, and it's believed to have been built in 1835. So, old, but it wasn't originally here at Lower Fort Garry. It was actually on what is now Leela Avenue here in Winnipeg. It was moved to Lower Fort Garry in 1969. And there are at least two other buildings from the 1830s at Lower Fort Garry that are genuine, but again, not original to the site. The rest of the wooden buildings, well, they're modern recreations that are meant to resemble the originals. And most of them were built in the 1960s. Remember, 1960s. That means, technically, they are considered old. So even though we know they're not original, we know that they were built, you know, in the relatively recent past, but technically they are now considered old. None of those wooden buildings, you know, really, to my mind, justify the term old. But a lot of what we're talking about involves conservation work, and I don't want my comments to be interpreted as critical of those who do conservation work. You know, they're performing an essential service, keeping these old buildings in a form that people can enjoy, can visit and understand a bit of the past. And I do worry that this service of conservation may soon be gone in Canada.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, okay, for over 50 years, the agency responsible for Lower Fort Garry, in fact, for most of the historic sites around Canada, the really, you know, the federal ones anyway, Parks Canada, had a restoration workshop based at Lower Fort Garry, and it provided conservation service, not just here in Manitoba, but across Canada. The staff consisted of highly skilled craftspeople, you know, who specialized in things like traditional masonry techniques, carpentry, historic materials. You know, they understood the various materials from which you could build a building and how to conserve them. They traveled across the country to assess, to stabilize, to repair, and to conserve some of Canada's most significant historic places. And a lot of these were in fairly remote locations where, well, you simply couldn't depend on specialized heritage contractors. They just didn't exist in some places, or if they did, they were prohibitively expensive. So why am I mentioning this restoration workshop? Well, in a recent move that I think is incredibly short-sighted, the staff was recently advised that the workshop is being closed. Going forward, I guess they're going to contract out all that work, but I would ask, to whom?
Yeah, who's going to do it?
In the more remote areas, you won't find anybody who's qualified, and, you know, you'll therefore have to bring them from far away. You're going to pay for that, and will this move truly save money? I think that's the justification. They're trying to save a few bucks.
Yeah.
And I also worry, will there be institutional memory? When you've got people on staff for decades, they develop skills. You know, they remember how things worked at a certain restoration site. You know, they know the techniques that they've used at other projects, and, you know, so if you don't have that institutional memory, I really worry about the future of all of this, but I guess it's going ahead. I guess we're going to find out just how bad the whole state of conservation may be in Canada going forward.
All of that knowledge potentially lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the flow. But you were talking at first about the Manitoba Historical Society YouTube channel, the buildings that you're going to be featuring. Which old buildings are you talking about?
Well, our plans are still in flux, but at the moment we're focusing on buildings from the 1830s to the 1850s. And this means we're going to include the Depot building at York Factory, which again, I think is the oldest wooden building in the province. We're going to do the Archway Warehouse at Norway House, a stone building. St. Andrew's on the Red Anglican Church, another stone building. Mm-hmm. The Grey Nuns Convent here in St. Boniface, a wooden building that's undergoing conservation right now, in fact, and a few of what we could call the pre-Manitoba buildings, in other words, before 1870, that exist all around Winnipeg, you know, things like the St. James Anglican Church, and it sits opposite Polo Park. But I bet you there may be others that we should consider for the series, so if any listeners have ideas of old buildings that might want to, you know, tell people about, please email me at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. And hey, if it's a good one, we might just be making a video about it.
Well, my house was built in 1951, and I was going to ask if I'm eligible for any federal, you know, reconstruction, but it doesn't sound like it.
Well, we'll be there next Friday. We'll start filming a video at your place as a historic building where Bruce Layden lives.
All right, I'll cut the grass first, make sure it looks decent. All right, thanks for that, Gordon. What's coming up for next week?
Well, when people think of Winnipeg's historic thoroughfares, Main Street or Portage Avenue typically top the list, but there is another route with a deep past, a road, some might call it a highway even, that led to the settlement of Pembina in Dakota Territory. Next week, we're going to explore some of the history of Pembina Highway.
Ah, excellent. I'm looking forward to that. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No. Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.